Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to One for the Road, the podcast about running and the rest of your life. It's winter and we've got sore hamstrings, dark nights, virtual yoga, speedy park runs, and the age-old question of whether or not to wear underwear under your lycra. It's all here in episode 10. Hi, Lizzie.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
We're back.
We are back.
It's only been a few weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks. We're getting good at this.
Regular. So tell me, what have you been up to?
I've been doing lots of non-running things as usual, but really enjoying getting back into kind of fitnessy stuff. So the last 2 weeks, I started getting personal training sessions.
Oh.
So that's been
quite fun. You've got your own PT.
I've got my own PT. Quite scary.
How does this work?
Well, it's one of my friends that I've known for a while. I'm not sure if that makes it more or less scary. Probably a bit less scary, because
that's good. I feel like I might not be quite so, like, I'd kind of, you know, they'd be like, do this, and I'd be like, no.
Yeah, I think it's good because he doesn't let me just say no. So even if I think, oh, it's okay because I know him, he will make me do it anyway. And then I said the stupid thing of saying all the things I don't like doing, like I don't like jumping, I don't like burpees, I don't like whatever. So I just know that I'm going to get loads of those now.
Great. How long are you doing this for?
10 weeks, so up until kind of Christmassy time, or maybe just a bit after. So trying to build a good base for half marathon training after Christmas.
Very good.
So I've had one outdoor session and then one indoor session in the gym today, which was really good. Kind of going over my technique in the gym, making sure I can do squats and deadlifts and everything safely. And then I'm going to be let loose on my own plan for the gym. So yeah, trying to get good strength and then hopefully run a bit faster when I come to a proper half marathon training in January.
It is all about this base fitness. I feel like every time I've come off the back of a race, I end up, before like starting the training for the next one, it's always the thing that I need to do more of. So it's quite good if you've committed, you've got 10 weeks, you know.
Yeah.
You'll have to do some sort of like before and after test.
Yes, well, we did kind of in this first session, we did a like pyramid session where it will be quite easy if we did that again to see if there's been any improvement.
That's good.
And also I've been advised that taking kind of like before, not necessarily like monitoring, because I don't want to lose weight, but taking like before and after progress photos is quite good, because I do want kind of, I'm going to be
gonna
that person.
You're going to start eating chicken on top of work.
Oh God, no, I'm not being that person. But I do want to get a bit leaner in my kind of arms and shoulders, not leaner, like, basically, there's a really heavy...
Definition.
Yeah, there's a really heavy revolving door at work, and I get stuck in it. I get stuck in it all the time, so my main goal is not to get stuck in it anymore.
I like that.
So if I get a little bit more shoulder muscle, hopefully I'll be able to like actually push my way out of the door.
You can measure that quite successfully as well. Soon you're going to be like whipping way around it.
So soon I'll be that person on Instagram, like, in the mirror.
Oh my God.
Like, holding my top up.
No, I'm going to want to follow you.
I promise I won't be that person.
As long as you don't start posting pictures of your chicken and spinach dinner or your breakfast.
Yeah, I like food too much to just eat boiled egg for lunch.
It's a big, you know, there's a scene. There's a scene there for you to explore.
Yeah, I've done that before. I don't need to do it again. I like, I like chocolate too much.
Benefits.
What else? You've been cycling?
I have been cycling, and this is also why I'm finding squats quite hard, because I've been doing a lot of cycling. I managed 367 kilometres.
You smashed it
out of my 250 kilometre target, so that was pretty cool.
A month ago, you were literally like, I don't know how I'm going to get to 250.
I know, but it turns out if you actually do just cycle every way, it's quite easy.
Works a treat.
Well, it's good. I've probably only spent about £10 on my Oyster card in the last month.
Wow, that's
maybe
incredible.
20, but still pretty
good. Well, when you think, you know, what, over 100 easily normally.
Yeah, we found out what MTS stands for on Strava. Monthly training series.
Yes,
so yeah,
which is
random. I was actually going to say that I might try for the 500 in November, but I've got two weekends when I'm not in London, so that's not going to happen because I just won't be cycling. So maybe January, I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway, I'm happy with my current level of cycling, but it's made my hamstrings and my hips super tight, like ridiculously tight. Mm. I was trying to stretch my hamstrings the other day and I can't even get my leg to 90 degrees when I lay on my back.
Oh, sounds so, like you need some yoga. You need some yoga
need
back
some
in
yoga.
Your life.
And also, yeah, just stretching to help squats and stuff like that, because hips are very tight.
You do notice, I think, people don't stretch as much as cycling. Yeah. It feels like you don't need to as much.
Yeah, especially when it's like less than like 10K.
Yeah,
I'm just like, oh, I'm just nipping somewhere, but then, yeah, still need to.
Kind of forget that it's still exercise.
Yeah. Yeah, how about you?
I've been doing some running.
Yay!
Yay! I like running.
At least someone does that before the running podcast.
I'll remain the running advocate. Not very far, though, and definitely the dark nights are not helping, because, you know, I'm not one for that. And
it's rained, though.
Yes.
The other night, I like went for my first run in the month on my own. And it was because I was walking home and it was really cold and really dark. And I was like, right, running season is here, people.
I find that totally crazy.
I got home, the first thing I did was like, quick, I need to get into my running gear. I went for a run and it was amazing. It was dark and it's great.
Felt fresh.
I found an instrumental version of Let It Go from Frozen, which... I think I posted on Twitter already, but I might do it again. It was incredible to run to.
So did you sing out loud?
Yeah.
Along the dark streets, yeah. Let it go, let it go. Sounds like a good you know, like intervals training. You like you could sprint on the chorus.
Yeah, it was great, and it was kind of a bit more rousing because it was the instrumental version.
Yeah. Because you were inserting your own singing lyrics. Yeah. That's why.
Anyway, sorry.
Oh, good. Wow, at least you've been out for a run. I've done nothing like of great long distance, nothing particularly over kind of 10K, but I've had a few little run of PBs. This marathon training stuff has paid off now. If not in the marathon, it is now, because I've had, we did that Battersea Park 10K that we talked about the other week, which did have really good flapjack and run through are brilliant. I really think they are great organisers, particularly as a person who managed to book themselves onto the 2016 October 10K, not the 2015. And when I panically tweeted them on Saturday afternoon, the day before the race, they sorted me out and rectified my stupid blonde mistake, which was very nice of them. And the medal's cool with this little Battersea Power Station.
It was a nice little race.
Yeah, really.
But I didn't run out.
Yeah, but you were a very good support team. I like having my own personal cheer crew now. Yeah, we had a nice group. Really lovely morning. I'm really enjoying autumn mornings for running. I'll stick on that.
Yeah.
And, I've been doing a few Paxters. So I've been doing yoga, but only once a week at the class I go to. So I've been trying to do a bit more. And have you heard of Paxter?
No.
It's this thing where you have videos of yoga and of other things. They do spinning and, what do you call it? Like turbo. So you watch a video of someone doing cycling and you... copy them.
You can join in.
I presume, actually. I don't actually know really what it is. But that. and loads of core videos and fitness. And you can... It's nice. It's a nice... you go on the website and you can schedule things. So you can schedule them to be in your calendar and send you a reminder. Quite like that. But it also... what's really clever about it is you can arrange to do it with a friend. So I've been doing it with Lauren, who's based over in Bristol. And we're on a webcam. So we've got a webcam running and you can see each other. And then at the same time, we're both looking at the yoga video. And you do the yoga video together.
nice.
It's really nice. So we do, there's a really good hip opening one. And we, the other day we did manage to talk more than the length of the yoga video. So we talked for like half an hour and then did a 15-minute yoga video. So our balance is maybe not quite right, but
it's really like fun. Roll straight out of bed and do some yoga without having to leave your house.
Yeah, yeah. I put the kettle on, make a little tea. It's great. So yeah, I've been enjoying a few of those. Did park run yesterday. Did a Burgess park run. Also good, they have banana at the end.
Oh, really? Mm. I didn't manage to get to parkrun yesterday. I woke up at the exact time that I needed to leave in order to get to parkrun.
So close.
Yeah, it's a bit annoying, because if you're going to wake up late, you kind of want to miss the whole thing completely.
Yeah, because you're like, you could have gone.
If I'd have literally sprung out of bed, put my kit straight on and run out the door, I could have made it, but I wasn't feeling sprightly.
No. Well, I think there's something about Burgess parkrun that puts kind of like, I don't know, the blind determination in me. And I figured, well, you know, I've got a token.
Short shorts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very, people, there's a lot of people there who are quite serious, I think. And it's a very flat course, so people go.
It's got a bit of a reputation at a good PB, as a PB course, hasn't it?
And my last PB is from there.
My PB is from there too.
Ah, cool. Yeah. It's good that it's flat. Mm. So I decided I wanted to try and beat it, which I did, which was amazing. But we did, so I came.
And now all the boys that are listening are going, but what was your time? What was your time? Yeah.
My park run time. Let's go with the park run time.
Yeah.
My watch time differs slightly, but we'll go park run. So I got 22:35, which I'm very proud of. Like,
yeah, that's pretty.
It's fast.
Rapid.
Yeah. It's bad. But I'm, you know, great. We'll keep with that. I don't know if I can repeat that. But I came. So I, what I love about park run is getting all those stats. So I came 49th overall, and there was 164 park runners. So I was amazed that that's so cool anyway. But there were only four, I came fourth woman. So there were only three other women in front of me. So everybody else were men. So that means there was like a good 40 odd men in front of me. That's mad.
Yeah.
And it was the same in Berlin Marathon. There was 10,000 women entered or something. And I still came, I don't know what I came overall, actually, I can't remember, but thousands, yeah, but that was it. Like, I came a quite a low woman amount, but so far over in overall. It's interesting to see the contrast of how much men seem to run faster, and at what varying levels. Definitely the men surrounding me while we were running were all either a bit older, who were clearly, like, just doing parkrun because they really enjoyed it. There was a man in, like, a pair of cargo shorts. You know, like, he looked like he'd just gone out for a walk and then decided to do a run. He was wearing a hoodie and a pair of, like, khaki green long shorts and definitely not running trainers. And he still beat me. And then another man who was pushing a pram overtook me at the last 100 metres. And I really felt like, there's a man pushing a pram who's just beat me. And he looks like he's barely noticed.
Yeah, I hate when that happens. Also, when they run really fast, I guess it's quite flat. But I feel like the kid inside must be like, oh my God.
I know. I think that child must have been a bit like, what is going on?
Although there was someone at Berlin Marathon pushing a pushchair.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? The whole marathon?
Well, I saw them at 37K and they were still going. So I assumed the kid had been in it the whole time. But I thought, well,
that's not a pleasant experience,
like,
is it?
Between 3.5 and 4 hours of just, the kid was like, just literally bored.
What, 4 hours at least? I can't, well, they must have done it quicker than, if they wanted to do it quicker than
me
that.
Around a marathon.
I always have that idea that if you got wheelies, you know those shoes with wheels on the bottom, so I could just grab onto the back of someone when I got a bit tired. And then they just pull me along for a bit. Just for a bit.
How can I get someone to wheel me around a marathon?
I'm sure that is it. Like, we could probably
do something.
That'd
be great.
You could just get on.
Oh, you know what I should do? Yeah, I should somehow get into volunteering enough that I'm one of the lead bike people.
That'd be a cool job.
That would be cool. Yeah, I'm going to try and do that.
Oh, I still want to be the person who fires the gun at the beginning.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Fire the gun, then get on a bike.
Yeah, and then
and I drive people.
Get involved in it. I want to do every job.
Just not the actual running.
Fine. Anything but the running. Good. That makes sense. Well, saying anything but the running, been doing a bit of cycling myself.
Yes.
You've got me into it.
Went on a little adventure.
We did. That was one of my post-marathon goals between now and Christmas, was to go on a slightly longer cycle. So we took ourselves on an adventure to Kew Gardens.
Yeah.
Which actually, well, back to my house, was I came clocked in at like 25 miles in the end. It was a bit rainy.
On the way there was nice.
Yes, on the way there was good. I enjoyed the way there. I think the way back was, I felt a little bit, it was got really bleak. It really started to rain when we split up and I went into Peckham.
Yes.
And the rain was going into my face.
Yes.
I thought, yeah, cycling's a bit, I'm not really into it right now.
The thing with rain on the bike is, I was sat at a junction and I was like, this rain isn't actually that bad. Like, I can see. It's fine. As soon as I started moving, I was like, I can't see anything.
It's in my face.
In my face. I don't know how you get past that, though. I don't think you can, because obviously when you're moving at speed, it is going to go in your face more.
Mm.
And I've got a little peak, so it's not even as bad.
That's what I was going to say, because wearing that little hat that I've got, you need a little peak.
Yeah, maybe I need a hat as well as my peak on my helmet. Maybe. So I have to, like, pull my helmet down.
Yeah, so you're protected. But generally,
it was quite soggy.
Cycling outfit choices, I don't know. I struggled a bit. I basically wore a running outfit.
Yeah, it's difficult when we're doing something like that and you're spending a lot of time in between the cycling doing a normal thing.
Hmm.
But you don't want to look, you don't want to like turn up in full on cycling
uniform. Yeah.
But what do you wear? Because we both had like running leggings on.
Hmm.
But I had a cotton t-shirt and then you just get really hot. And then I had to always have like an extra jumper in my bag and then, oh yeah, cycling along the embankment once I had to stop, take all my layers off, put my coat back on again because it just got too hot.
Yeah, and then I had really cold hands.
Yes, my hands and my feet get really cold.
So gloves. But then you get a bit hot with gloves on. What's the etiquette? I think he has some fingerless gloves. I don't know. There's a lot of equipment to cycling.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I get my feet not to get so cold because I had two pairs of socks on and they were still freezing.
Have you seen those over sock things?
Yeah.
Overshoe things? Oh, you've got some of them too?
I've got some on there, but I think I bought the size too small because I can't actually fit them on my feet. They're like fine if I haven't got any shoes on, which isn't the idea.
It's challenging, I think.
It's just a lot of kit.
Mm.
And it's very, like, you're either really hot or really cold.
And where's the line between, you know, just using your bike to get from A to B, to then being, I'm going out for a ride, therefore I should wear kit?
Yes.
Or do I just wear the kit when I'm going, it's normal cycling? I don't know.
That was the first time where I've actually admitted that maybe I see the point of shorts with padding in.
Yeah.
Whereas before I was really against it. I was like, I am not buying anything with a nappy in the bottom of it. And now I feel like I might need to invest in that.
Yeah, maybe.
I also found myself, when I was in Lululemon the other day, wishing they did the cycling jersey thing they did before.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, God. Into that person.
We're moving in that direction.
Yeah, I made a joke when we were cycling that we were like, this time next year, instead of like being in jeans and a hoodie on the bike, we'll be in like full on micro gear, clips, everything.
Yeah, well, that girl came
with streamline helmet.
Those helmets are funny. I saw yesterday morning there was Channel 4 doing some coverage of the Ben Nevis triathlon, which, by the way, Ben Nevis, like, really interesting. Like, Ben Nevis looks beautiful, but like, half marathon over Ben Nevis.
Yeah.
I was like, no, no, no. But I was like, a walk up, this would be nice. But they had those swooshy helmets on. They look very, like, modern. Really speedy. But yeah, that girl did overtake us and she was in her kit. And I felt a bit jealous because she seemed quite speedy.
Yeah, and so, like,
and she was sort of, like,
effortless.
She was very, like, bent over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like at the moment there's quite a big gap between what I'm doing and what she's doing, though. She also had speed and agility on her side.
You don't take anything with you?
No, she didn't have a bag or anything, did she?
No.
She was just going out for a ride, though, I suppose.
But like, what about when do you put your snacks? I guess that's what you have the pockets in the back for. Mm.
Sometimes you can get those things that you put underneath your saddle.
Oh, yeah.
Might have to get one.
Where I keep my emergency carrier bag. I ride around with a Sainsbury's carrier bag stuffed under my saddle for when it's raining. Then I put it over my saddle.
It's practical.
But I completely forgot to do it on Saturday anyway.
Yeah, and then
my saddle got all wet. Yeah, it's just useful to have a carrier bag with you as well.
It's true. Well, now they cost 10p. I mean,
well, exactly. And that's a relic now because you have to pay for them.
The old kind of carrier bag. You just look after them. Yeah, we did have a bit of a drama on the way home as well.
Yeah, that was fun.
So I got my first puncture, which I was really sad about. I felt a bit, you know.
No, I feel like now you can feel like a proper cyclist.
That's true.
I've been riding around for like 8 months and I still haven't got a puncture.
Oh,
not that I particularly want one.
No, I wouldn't. And at least you knew what to do. It's funny though, because you do, I thought, I was always a bit nervous that, you know, every now and again you still think, oh, have I got a puncture? And you don't really know what you're looking out for. And when it happens, you're like, oh no, this is bad.
What made me laugh is that you were cycling along going, something's happened, have I got a puncture? And I was like, yes.
My tyre was completely flat.
Like, yeah, it did feel a bit different.
I was just scraping the metal along the floor. It's fine. We didn't change it ourselves, though. That might have to be the next leveler.
Yeah, that would have taken a bit longer. I can do it, but it would take a while.
Yeah, I was lucky that we found a bike shop.
Yeah, we were quite near civilization still.
Yeah, so maybe
Chelsea.
I don't think I'm ready for like the wilds of the countryside yet. No cycling to Paris yet for me, because the flat tire situation would mean I'd basically
no. It'd be like on Google. I was like, oh, it's okay. We're 0.3 miles away from a bike shop. We'd be like, we are 25 miles away from a bike shop. What do we do?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah. You just have to change. Yeah, maybe we'd only go with someone that can change a puncture.
That's a good tactic.
Change a inner tube. Not, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about drinking. No, it's the 1st of November. Now it's the 1st of November.
Now it's the 1st of November and I haven't drunk all of October.
Woohoo.
And to be honest, I feel a bit smug about it and really enjoyed it, and I'm carrying on for November as well.
Very good.
Yeah, I just haven't had any occasions where I thought I need to drink. So until that presents itself,
not bothered.
I'm not that bothered.
Do you miss the taste of it?
Yeah, that's why I've been drinking non-alcoholic beer.
Ah, you found a way around. Because I definitely think when I didn't drink in the lead up to the marathon, I just kind of craved the taste of a beer, which I actually hadn't ever done before.
Yeah, I really like beer.
Me too.
That's the thing that I miss the most. Alcohol-free beer, it's not quite the same, but at least it's...
Yeah, it tastes like beer.
Tastes like beer.
Oh, that... What Near did you enough. Have the other night? That... The fizzy stuff.
Was it beer?
No, champagne. It wasn't champagne.
But... Oh, Schlaer do like a fake champagne now. It's in like a champagne bottle and it says like Schlaer Celebration.
Which is a nice idea, but it was very... It tasted far too sweet, I thought.
If it was in a champagne flute, it would actually look like champagne though.
Yeah. But that is weird that you know like you're just doing it because it looks like it.
Well, yeah. It's like the whole thing of you're only doing it to... all other people so you don't get a hard time basically,
which is weird.
I'm not drinking it because I'm like, yeah, I really want some really sweet grape juice. I'm drinking it so that I fit in with everyone else that's also drinking champagne.
Man, the psychology behind the whole like non-drinking thing and how people react to you is very interesting. And it's true, it's very true that it's very much not about yourself, it's about the impression that other people...
Yeah, because I got we had some professional photos done at that black tie event I went to.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like all cheersing in the photo and I was holding up a glass of water, a wine glass of water in it, and someone was like, pointed it out like, oh, look at you, the boring drink.
Oh, God.
And I was like, all right, fine, say that then.
Yeah, you kind of just like, this is your problem, not mine.
Yeah, I was like, I was perfectly happy with my water. Or my Bex Blue or whatever it was.
True.
Oh, yeah, cool. No, it's good.
So keep it up for a bit longer.
Yes.
But maybe sample a few new things.
Yeah. It's just non-alcohol options are generally really shit.
Yeah, I think the world could up its game. The world. Everyone could up their game on mocktails. Yeah,
I'm just drinking a lot more Diet Coke than I would do normally, which is quite feels like replacing one bad thing with another.
Yeah, it's true. When I try and cut out sugar, I tend to eat a lot more crisps. That kind of situation.
Oh yeah, and biscuits still a lot of biscuits.
One thing at a time.
Yeah.
Don't try to do it all in
one. Don't want to cut out all the fun.
It's just normal life.
Carrying on is my summary. Trying not to. Yeah, the problem is it's a bit like runners. You know how like there's always all those like piss taking articles that like the problem with runners is they just tell everyone about it.
And that's
so like I'm in danger of being like that. Like I haven't drunk for 31 days. I haven't drunk for 32 days. And I was like, yeah, right. Shut up.
You're still
it kind
going
of makes there. People want me to drink more because they're like, I want you to fail now.
Yeah, you're going to make a run for your own back.
On the subject of not drinking,
mm-hmm.
I think one of the more unusual side effects has been actually being more honest than I would have been normally. And I'm not really sure why this is because everyone always is like, oh, I was so drunk, I was telling everyone exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
feel like that's happening more so. So last weekend I ended up going to the pub and having quite a lengthy conversation about my underwear, or lack of it, with the people I was with. Because it was a Sunday evening, I'd already had a shower, left the house without a bra on, which I realised once I'd left the house, Sven had to kind of...
announce to everyone.
I don't know why, I didn't need to tell anyone, but I did. Now I'm telling all of you. I went to the pub without a bra on. But the main point of this story is we then went into a lengthy conversation about pants and when not to wear pants, mostly whilst exercising.
Oh.
So I always wear pants, regardless of what I'm wearing on my bottoms.
Whereas I have preferences. Just it depends on the pairs of shorts.
Yes, and this kind of links to the whole what do you wear while cycling chat as well, because apparently there's quite strict rules when it comes to what you wear in cycling.
Yeah, because I think with the padded shorts, you don't wear pants under
yes,
them.
Yes, everyone was quite clear that no pants whilst wearing padded shorts.
Yeah, but then you're like sweaty and they're padded and like there's a lot of layers there.
I don't know, I just feel a bit weird about not having the actual classified as underwear material there. But you get some of those shorts that have kind of got like the inner short, inner pant thing in.
Yes.
I'd still wear pants.
Yeah, see, some of those I wouldn't. Because some of them are more into the shape of pants.
Yeah. I don't know, it still feels a bit too breezy for my liking.
It all depends on the time of the year as well, I'd say.
Maybe the breeziness would be good. Maybe it's the... I don't know.
I don't think men ever wear pants with theirs, you know.
No, I've heard a lot of, like, chafing horror stories with pants.
But then with men, if they're wearing boxers, there's a lot more material there to chafe, whereas with women, you'd be wearing fitted pants anyway.
Yes. I know a lot of people that don't wear pants when they're wearing, like, running leggings.
Oh.
But then that
obviously,
means...
I would always wear... Because leggings don't have built-in.
No, and also this is quite gross, but like, depending on the distance I'm running, I don't wash my leggings after every run. Whereas if you didn't have pants on, you'd have to.
Yeah, you'd always have to.
I can probably do a couple of 5Ks in the same pair of leggings without having to wash them.
That's true.
Also, people that wear thongs whilst running, I don't understand that.
I'm not sure how that plays out. I've not tried it, and I'm not really keen to try. For a marathon.
With a thong, like, surely that's like material that's in places it doesn't need to be in.
Yeah, and you can get, you know, chafing can come anyway.
Oh, imagine chafing there.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the main reason I don't understand this is because I've never really had a problem with chafing. So I don't really understand. Does this mean my pants fit properly? Because, like, surely the only reason you get it is if. Well, there's excess material.
Well, that's
places.
Why I think the boxer thing. No, because I got chafing on my inner thighs because my thighs are wider, so they just naturally have, you know, sit together.
Well, that's because your thighs are touching, though, right?
Yeah.
Well, I would experience, but I've not experienced material chafing.
Oh,
apart from when I run with my rucksack once on, like, straight onto my skin, like, I had a vest on.
Oh, yeah.
So I got done what that. Looked like two love bites.
Great look. I've got, like, a permanent scar from a crop top that rubbed on me once. It's, like, right on my bra line. It just... I don't know why. It doesn't seem like it's always...
It always is, yeah, and it's always in really random places, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. It doesn't ever seem to have any rhyme or reason. It's great. The perils of running, though, my feet are still mashed from the marathon.
Mm.
Like, yesterday... No, I tried to wear heels last week. Like... open-toed, and I had to paint basically my skin because my toenails
no
are just
there.
Not there. And I know you're not supposed to lose your toenails when running, but I did, and they
I've
have
lost
not come
my
back
toenail.
Yet. Yeah.
My little one.
In the marathon, or just
no,
generally?
But yeah, just a little one, just one day, just kind of drifted away.
It's pretty much happened those. Like, where the blisters were and stuff, it's very, they're not in a good shape, and I don't really know what to do with them.
Not in a good place.
I feel like I need to take them to someone.
At least it's winter, though. They're probably going to work themselves out by the time it gets to sandals.
I'm just going to cover them up for the next 6 months. I think that's the best plan.
Okay. Well, let us know where you stand on the pant debate.
I know. It's bothering.
Well, I feel like at least when I buy padded shorts for cycling, I now know.
You'll know where you stand. We need to talk about these things. They're taboo subjects.
Yeah. Also, if no one had told me that, I would have worn pants with my not bib shorts. Padded shorts.
What's the difference? I thought bib shorts were padded shorts.
I thought bib shorts are the ones that just have, like...
Yeah, they do have the straps, but aren't they padded shorts
with
straps?
Oh, I guess they would be as well.
Mm. So do you wear them over the top of your padded shorts?
No, but that's just to hold them up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which, again, I kind of feel like...
Unnecessary? But if you're cycling, maybe leaning over, then they start to wiggle down.
I don't know. But again, that kind of screams of poor construction in the legging department if they're riding down that much.
It'd be like,
I've got some running leggings on right now and they're really high waisted.
Mm.
There's no way they're going anywhere.
No.
Really...
imagine if for running we had to wear like braces to hold them up. They are like braces.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I'd quite like to try the play suit, the running play suit.
Do you think that there's a chafing challenge? Like,
oh yeah, definitely.
Would that not? Well, it depends if it. You obviously they design it so it fits a person, but you know, like I can't
body
get,
length problems.
I can't get a normal jumpsuit to fit me properly, so I don't know if I'd be able to achieve.
That's
the running play suit.
To hold on to for a summer topic.
And I'm intrigued by the running skirt thing. I don't really understand it.
It's just no.
But is a running skirt a pair of shorts with a kind of skirt over the top?
Yeah.
Kind of like, do you remember at school, did you ever have to wear like a netball skirt?
Yeah.
It's that, isn't it?
It's like making something unnecessarily girly.
Well, do you not? Does that fabric do anything more other than be a skirt?
I don't think so. Because it's not like a pair of pants. It's actually... pretty much shorts.
A pair of shorts for the skirt. Yeah, which then I'm a bit like, that's just like the choice between like my double layered lycra shorts with floaty shorts over the top.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like choosing between wearing a floaty short over the top or a kind of skirt over the top. Which then I'm kind of like, well, I just would choose not to do that. Because it makes me think of what I wore at school.
Just not a big skirt person in general. I think that's why I'm not a big fan.
No, also true.
Okay, so we haven't got an on the run this time. Because we're a bit disorganised, but we thought we'd have a different section and talking about our love for London, because we've been in London a while, but I think it's good to still appreciate the place that you live in.
Yeah.
So as a really quick intro section, we'll talk about this more in other episodes, but we thought as a good kick-off, we'd just quickly tell you what our favourite views in London are. So Harry, do you want to start with yours?
Okay. I feel like, I think there are many. This is the one I can think of now. It is sunrise going over Waterloo Bridge, looking to your, if you're coming from the south side of the river and going over and looking to the right, you just get, there's something about the quality of the sun coming up, and the buildings are all in like shadows, so they all come up as like black buildings, and you just get the outlines, and it's just really striking. All of the iconic buildings are there, and I really like the light quality at the same time, and of course it's over the water, which is always nice. I'd rate that one quite highly.
Mine is, well, I think all of mine, like my whole top 10 will probably be river related. One of my hashtags I use on Instagram is always by the river, because it massively helps my love for London being by water. So my favourite one, which I'm a little bit reluctant to tell everyone because it's like my secret place, so I'm not going to give it away exactly, but I live in Wapping, and there's a part of, off one of the main roads, you can kind of go down some steps, and when it's low tide, you can get right to the, I call it a beach. It's kind of a beach, yeah. You can get onto the beach, and you can look right, and it's an amazing view of Tower Bridge.
Mm.
And I just feel, like, amazingly lucky that sometimes I can get to this really secluded place right near my house and look at this, like, icon of London. Any part of the river where I can see Tower Bridge is amazing. I think it's great. But yeah, that's my favourite one.
You have to think about that. I was running the other day with a friend, and he's from Suffolk, so we're both from like east of England. I've only lived in London our adult lives, and we were running over Tower Bridge, and he was like, who would have thought us two little uns from the east of England to be here running over Tower Bridge? And I think that's when it kind of like swelled my feeling of, oh wow, I live in a city that people all over the world come to and want to be, and Tower Bridge is such an icon for that.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago I went and had my like Sunday morning like coffee by Tower Bridge. I just kind of like took it and went and sat there. I think I might have even been in my pyjamas.
It really is secluded then.
Yeah. Oh well, it wasn't even that bit, it was just like on a bench near the hotel, but the only people around there were tourists. And I just thought, I'm so lucky that I can walk out of my house and be within 5 minutes of somewhere that so many people pay so much money to come and visit. So yeah, that was pretty nice. It's pretty special when you can do things like that.
Yeah, here starts our fandom of London. And Laura, we run these streets, we cycle them. I feel like there's so many things we could share with you about little nooks and crannies and fun places to find.
Mm. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
That's it for now. We'll do our little roundup of where you can find us on the internet.
I love that you look to me. Right, I've got this down now. On Twitter, you can follow Lissy at Lissy Runs. You can follow me, Harriet, now upgraded to at HS Dalton. Married name is now official. And you can find us at OFTR Podcast on Twitter and on Instagram. And our website is oftrpodcast.wordpress.com.
We have some exciting project stuff lined up for general One for the Road stuff that's going to be happening over the next couple of months. So as that happens, we'll talk about it. But keep an eye out on all the channels for now. See you soon.
See you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.